From the Thinking Out Loud studios, it's the Thinking Out Loud podcast with Kevin and Kyle, the podcast that exists to help you navigate the culture of today from a biblical perspective
and to help you grow in your relationship with God.
God has commissioned and called you to be a light in this culture. The only way you can do that is to know the truth.
No matter what circumstance you're facing, no matter what season of life that you're in, if you truly want to find success in that season,
you are going to have to go back to the simple question of, what does God say about me in this moment?
There's no shortage of information in this culture, but there is a shortage of truth.
Welcome back to the Thinking Out Loud podcast. My name is Kevin Wilson, and I am so grateful to be here again with you guys for another week of the show. I hope you guys are doing well. Of course, we record this show in Michigan, and it is really cold here in Michigan. We had quite a few weeks where it was unseasonably warm, just like kind of the 40s, 50s, some days like it was like high 50s. And really no snow. It's just kind of, it's kind of weird, but we've kind of been trending that way here in Michigan for a little while. I was either listening to something or reading something where they said that Michigan weather is going to be a lot like Kentucky, where it gets cold, but it doesn't get like crazy cold, and there's not these crazy snowfalls. Because if you've never been to Michigan, trust me, there are winters where it is like freeze your face off cold. Like it's, you know, negative. I mean, the real feels are negative 30, 20, all that. I mean, just crazy cold. So we're getting through this winter. I'm a spring and summer guy. I love the fall as well. Not a huge fan of winter at all. I'd love to live in a state where it was warm all the time. And, you know, coming from Michigan, even if it got down to 40s and that was kind of the lowest it went, that would be fine with me because I'm so used to it being much colder than that. 40 is like great, right? I could just go out with a hoodie and some jeans, and that'd be good. So I hope you guys are doing well. I hope your families are doing well. Just so excited just to be here these weeks as we share together. I'll give the phone number out. It's 248-301-2010, 248-301-2010. If you got a show topic suggestion, questions, you got feedback, you can either call that number and leave us a voicemail, or you can text that number. Questions you have, show suggestions, feedback, any of that stuff, just go ahead there and send that to us. Also, you can do that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Also, prayer requests. If you have prayer requests and you're like, Kev, I just love for you guys to pray. I've got some people in my family or myself are going through some things. Whatever the case may be, we would love to pray for you. So you could text your prayer requests to us. You can also call that line, 248-301-2010. And you can leave that prayer request on the voicemail and we will retrieve that and we will be in prayer for you. Just want you to know that we've been covering this topic of sanctification for the past few weeks. And it's just, I don't know about you guys, but it's a wonderful journey. It is just a good journey. And so we're going to continue that series today. We're going to kind of take a little of a, I don't know if you want to say, it's not really a detour, because what I'm going to talk about today has so much to do with sanctification. And without it, there is just no way that this journey of sanctification is going to be successful in our lives unless this happens. And we need to know what it is. We need to understand how to move in this. Just thought it was very pertinent to talk about this today. I just, as you're listening to this, whatever you're doing, if you're just relaxing or if you're working out or going for a walk or a run, just know that I just believe today that you will gain some insight and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. That's one of those things. And I appreciate every single one of you that listen every time that we're on. this is probably going to be one of the most important things that we'll talk about on the podcast. Truly, there's a lot of stuff because obviously you guys know we cover all kinds of things, but this here is just something that I believe that should be active in every person's life so that you can live the life that God has called you to live. But today we're going to talk about surrender. Surrender. Man, we hear that word all the time. It's in our worship songs. We hear our pastors talking about it. We read books or have devotionals and different things like that. And you hear this word surrender. But sometimes some things can be overused. I was thinking just before I even came into the studio, I was thinking about John 3:16. And I don't think it's this show that I'm going to talk about it. I don't think it's in these notes. I think it's maybe in the notes for the next episode. But some of these things are just overused. It's just like you see scriptures on plaques. You go to a baseball game or a football game or whatever, and you see some of these things. And don't get me wrong, I absolutely love scripture being on display at any time, anywhere. Okay, so don't misunderstand me there. Here's what I'm saying. Sometimes we can overuse words. We can overuse scriptures to the point that for us, because scripture in itself will never lose its value, ever. Because it is God-breathed. But to us and into our ears, sometimes these things lose value because we overuse them. And sometimes we don't even understand or really know what they mean. We've got this general idea, right? So when you talk about surrender, you know, we have this general idea what surrender means. But do we really? Like, what does that look like in your life? What does surrender look like in your life? We have this passive knowledge and this passive understanding of it, but do we really understand what a surrender is all about? And so think about it. As you're listening to this, what does surrender mean to you, right? When you hear that word, what does it mean to you? For some people, it could mean, hey, you know what? They think military, and they're like, we raise our white flag and we're surrendering to the opposite side. You know, other people may look at it as surrendering their rights. Maybe they went to a different country, or they came to America and things were totally different. They had to surrender certain things. Some people, before they go, and I know some taking this to a dark place, right? But before they go to jail, sometimes what does the judge have them do? Surrender their passports. They surrender their passports because they're like, hey, you know, you haven't been sentenced yet, but you're a flight risk. So we need you to surrender. So you're giving up something. So all of these things are things that somebody could think about surrender. Okay. But ask yourself, though, what does that really mean on a Tuesday morning? Like, what does surrender look like on a Wednesday night? Seems so clear when you're sitting in church and the pastor is talking, or you're listening to a worship song, or you're in worship at church and that's a song comes up and it talks about surrender. And you're just like, I surrender all to you, God. I just give it all. I lay myself on the altar. I mean, we say all of these things, and I do believe we mean it, and we want that. We think we do. That's the key, right? We think we want these things, but do we really want these things? Is this something that we really have really delved into to say, I know what surrender means, and I know what it means for my life? You know, the old song, I surrender all, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all, right? You hear these things. Are we really? Is that like a thing in our lives? Tuesday, when you're fighting with your wife, or you're having some issues with your kids, in that moment that you need to surrender, are we actually surrendering, or is it this ideal state that we want to be in? Because a lot of times when we sing worship songs, I've been thinking about this lately too, a lot of times when we sing worship songs, it puts us in this ideal state. And sometimes we feel like because we've sang that,
that somehow is what we actually think and believe. And sometimes, guys, I have to submit to you, because I can look in my own life and say this. Sometimes we don't. Like, it's a song we're singing, and the song is great, and we want to be what we hear in the song and what we're singing, but a lot of times we're just not there yet. And I'm not saying that's the ultimately bad thing or anything like that. I'm just saying, let's take a real good look at where we are in our own spiritual lives and say, all right, God, am I actually surrendering? So we're going to break this down. I'm going to break this down for you, and then I'm going to let the scripture show you what surrender actually is. What does surrendering look like in our lives as Christian? So yes, am I going to have some commentary on these sections? I will. But, you know, I really want the scripture to inform you. I'm going to read directly from scripture, because it needs to show you itself from God's word what it means to surrender. A lot of times when we talk about surrender, it's a scary thing. It's just a scary thing. You're giving up, and I'm a guy. So for me and most guys, we're fixers. We pride ourselves into saying, I got it. I'll handle it. I'll figure it out. At the end of the day, I taught this actually a couple of weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, in my Tuesday night Bible class. It was a moving night. Man, it was one of the best classes we've had. It just was a moving night. God showed up, and I didn't even plan to teach. I didn't really plan to teach this, but it was something that got it placed on my heart. And I tell you right now, and that's why I'm grateful that I can share it with you guys, because it had a huge impact on all of us there at the class. It's a scary thing, because a lot of us, you can out earn a lot of things. If you think about it, in life, if something happens, say something happens to your car, and I know that there's some people like, oh my gosh, if something happens to my car, I don't know what I would do. Or if something happened to your house, or you needed a new roof, or you needed whatever, so whatever thing that comes up. A lot of us, especially those of us in America, we've got so many things at our disposal that if we really don't want, quote, to rely on God, we, even though we have to, and we don't realize that every breath that we breathe, you know, people who are not Christian, they don't understand that every breath that they breathe is loaned to them by God. Like, it's His breath. It's not theirs. This is His atmosphere. The air that they breathe, the trees that allow us to live, and all the things around us, this atmosphere that we're in, that's causes us to be able to live, this livable place, it's all loaned from God. It's all His. It's not ours. But think about it. We live as though it is ours. We live as though we are the ones that are in control. And I say that, and like, I'll harken back to something I just said a couple of seconds ago, is when don't get me wrong, that part of a man that says, hey, I got it, I'll fix it, I'll do what it takes, I'll handle it. Part of that is a God-given thing that a man has, because men a lot of times will have families, or they will get married, and they do need to be able to lead their home. They need to be the protector of their wife and their children. They need to have that instinct to go out and kill something and drag it home. That's a God-given trait. But where it goes too far is if we go beyond that and say, well, you know what, God, I'm good. And we don't actually say that with our mouth, but with our actions and with our thoughts and with our motives and the things that we do, we're saying, you know what, God, I got it. I'll handle it. But I'll ask you this. Outside of money, right? And I'm going to read you a scripture about money here in a second, because money can fool you. You can make good money and you will think everything's cool. Everything's good, man. I'll just earn my way out of this, or I'll just pay my way out, or I'll just, whatever the case may be, I've got this nest egg over here. Or, and even if you don't have a nest egg or you don't make a lot of money, there's so many side hustles and all these things that you can do to where pretty much at the end of the day, you can earn your way out of any situation that you're in. I mean, let's be realistic here. Now, we might not want to do it. You might have to work 3 or 4 jobs. You might have to come home and work online or do something, you know, have it, like I say, a side hustle or something like that. But these are things that we do, and these are things that can be done. So outside of money, though, ask yourself, and I'm not giving you an out here. That's why I'm saying outside of money, because there may be some of you that are listening to me go, Kevin, I'm good. I've got my house I want, my cars I want. You know, if something happens, I've got 30, 40 grand on the credit card I can spend, whatever the case may be. You've got all the things. But I'm going to show you how you don't have all the things. And actually, it is the exact opposite. Because here's the thing. If your life is not surrendered to God, you think you're rich, you're actually poor. Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird how it is? You have to understand that God's economy is not the United States dollar. God's economy is not the European dollar. God's economy is not the Chinese dollar. And I'm not saying that all of these things are called dollars, but you know what I'm saying. It's not in that. His economy is totally different. So what he looks at as wealthy and what you look at as wealthy is two totally separate things. God looks at, and we'll see what God looks at as wealthy versus what you look at as wealthy. And so when it comes to surrendering and surrendering everything that you have to God on this road to sanctification, it's scary, guys. It is a scary, scary thing. But ask yourself, with your situation, how have you making decisions worked out for you? How's that worked out for you? How's that worked out for your marriage? How's that worked out for your finances? How's that worked for you thinking that you had it all together when it came to your kids? How has that worked with your anxiety and your depression and the things that you faced and the things that you struggle with? How has that worked with your addictions? This, I got it. I'll take care of it. I can handle it. I'll fix myself. I'll fix my marriage. I will fix it. We have a saying around our church, and I love this saying. Our pastor always says this. He says, if we were the solution to our problems, we'd already fixed ourselves, right? But we're not. And that's why we know that as we go through life, we struggle. And this is where this sanctification, this is where this surrendering to God comes in. So let's talk, what does surrendering mean? Actually, right before I get to that, I want to go back to this thing about money, because I think this is really important. Because a lot of people feel like, well, if I could just get enough money, that somehow that is going to fix all of my problems. Now, I will tell you right now, money is good. The Bible doesn't say that money's bad. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money is the root of all evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And you know what? Money is a good thing. And if it's used properly, but not in the place of God, not as a thing to where we say, well, you know what? As long as I have this nest egg, I'm going to be okay. Because here's what you can't buy with money: your health. You can't. That was the case. The billionaires in the world, the multimillionaires in the world would not die of cancer. They would not die of diabetes. They would not die of heart disease. They would not die of all of these things and these ailments. And they go to some of the best doctors in the world, but the best doctors can't do what God can. So you tell me now who's rich. Tell me now who's got the wealth. So let's look at what surrender means. Now, remember, surrendering to God has everything to do with sanctification. Think about all the things that we've talked about on this sanctification journey. And if this is the first time you're listening to the sanctification series, please go back to the beginning episode. The episode title is Sanctification, the Life You've Always Wanted. Go back to that and then listen in order, because I think it's going to be really helpful. But remember, sanctification, it had a lot of stuff in it that we've just seen together that we can't do without Christ. And that's why the surrender piece of sanctification is so important. Now, here's what surrender means. If you look at the Webster Dictionary, it means to yield to the power, control, or possession of another upon compulsion or demand. To yield to the power, control, or possession of another. So you're giving up, you're yielding to, you're giving up. So think about your relationship with God right now. Think about where you are with God. Okay. You're surrendering. So when you say things like, I surrender to God, you're yielding the power, you're yielding control. All you men that's out there listening, and I'm picking on the men right now, because we're the fixers. We're the guys. I got it. I'll take care of it. I'll handle it. And we take pride in that kind of stuff. We take pride in it. But surrendering also means you're yielding the power and the control or the possession of your family, your wife, your job, your relationships, all of those things. Another definition is to give up completely or agree to forego, especially in favor of another. What better person to give up completely or agree to forego other than Jesus? Especially in favor of another. This is another definition, to give oneself up into the power of another, especially as a prisoner. You say, whoa, 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 Kevin, I don't want to be anybody's prisoner. Think about how many times when you read the New Testament and you read the opening statement of a chapter or a book, Paul says, usually Paul, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Right? You know, he says that. And he's, you know what? And I believe that every time he wrote that with this great assurance, maybe even a smile on his face, because he was happy to be a prisoner of Christ. He was happy to forego all of the things that he had built. He was happy to give himself up to the power of another, or to yield the power, control, or possession of another, right? To another, right? Paul's like, I, Paul, a prisoner, a slave to Jesus Christ, because he realized that enslaving himself to one who is greater, or the one who created him, is better than anything that he could have ever done. If he was enslaved to himself, Paul would never have wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. So when we talk about surrender, we have to understand what we're talking about. And I think about it, like, think about the songs that we sing. And in some church circles, I'll give you an example. The song Refiner is by Maverick City. And let me just read you the lyrics. Now, these are songs that people are singing in their cars. They're singing at church. They're singing, you know. It says, if the altar's where you meet us, take me there, take me there. If what you need is just an offering, it's right here. My life is here, and I'll be a living sacrifice for you. You're a fire, the refiner. I want to be consumed. I want to be tried by fire, purified. You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. I want to be tried by fire, purified. Take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. If your glory wants to come in, let it fall. We want it all. Your fire is consuming. Fill this place, set it ablaze, and I'll be a living sacrifice for you. Think about that. You're singing this on Sunday morning. This is playing in your car. And listen, guys, I'm just bringing us to reality here. We're singing these songs. They're moving. They're moving songs, and they move us to tears. And when we're singing them, we feel like we're there. We're in the zone, and we're like, God, you're a fire, and you're the refiner, and I want to be consumed. I want to be purified. Here's my life. I lay it down as a sacrifice. But are we really? Again, what does that look like on a Tuesday morning? Are we really laying that down? And what does that look like in our lives? I'm going to talk to you about what that looks like in our lives. But sometimes, like I said earlier, money makes us think, or success makes us think, or us getting that raise, or us being the doctor, or us being successful and moving up the corporate ladder makes us think we are smart enough, because we get it mixed up. We go to work and we go, man, I'm moving up the corporate ladder, and I'm this and I'm that at work. And then we bring that into other areas of our life as if that same thing is going to work in these other areas. And God goes, no, you don't understand. The fact that you can even do what you do at work is a work of me. The fact that you have the intelligence to excel and exceed, the fact that you understand computers the way you do, the fact that you understand business and numbers and real estate and whatever you do, it's all me. Listen to what Jesus said. These were people in Revelations that Jesus was literally, he was writing these letters to the church. And this is what Jesus was actually saying to these churches. And I want you to think about yourself, because remember, the church is us. It's not a building. He's not talking to a building. He's talking to people. So listen to what he says. This is in Revelations 3:14-19. He says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you don't realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. See, what Jesus was saying to this church is, like, on the outside, you look really good. And I want to submit to you, Christian, that's listening to me, on the outside, you might look really good. You've got the car, you've got the house, you've got the finances, you've got all the things, you've got the boat, you go on vacations, you have all of those things. And it looks good. But remember, everything that I just named is all things that are based on the world standards of what success is. The boat, the house, the car, the corporate ladder climbing, the intelligence that you have for all of the things that you do, all of those things are things that are, in the world's eyes, success. But if you're a Christian and you're moving on this journey of sanctification that causes you to surrender, or that causes you to realize that you need to surrender, how rich are you? How rich in God are you? How wealthy are you? What do you have stored up with Him? Because your Tesla is not going to get you where you need to go. Oh, yeah, it'll get you down the street to your job. It'll get you to the movie theater. It'll get you to these places here. But the eternal place, places that matter, it can't fix your marriage. It can't fix your kid who's dealing with bullying in school. It can't fix anything that's real in your life. So Jesus is saying to you, because he was talking to the church when he said this, he's saying, yeah, you look good on the outside and it looks like you have all the things. Verse 17 says, I am rich. I've acquired wealth. And you might be listening to me and you go, well, I'm not rich, Kevin. And you might not be rich or wealthy or even well off, or you might not even be middle class listening to me. And you say, well, Kevin, I just don't have that much money, so this is not me. Well, I would beg to differ. Because if you are more focused on the things of the world and acquiring those things, or you are relying on those things more than you're relying on God, and before you say that you're relying on God more than you're relying on those things, hold on. Remember what the definition of surrender means. And you're going to see here in a second, if truly by the word or by scripture, we're truly surrendered or surrendering to God. This stuff's deep, guys. Guys, if we are going to be the people that God has called us to be, it's not this passive Christianity. It's an intentional, everyday thing. And I'm not perfect, guys. I am not saying this from some high mountain looking down at everyone else. No, guys, I am at the foot of the cross like everyone else, realizing my deficiencies, realizing that I am depraved, realizing that my heart can deceive me, the Bible says. I mean, all the things. I realize that I have long way to go, but I want to be on this journey. And I'm just asking you if you'll go with me. Because I believe this is exactly what we need. And this is what the world needs to see. This intentional walk with Christ. All right, you ready? I hope you're ready. Because we're going to talk about what the Bible says about surrendering. Like, what does that actually look like on a Tuesday morning? But before we do that, I want to pause really quick to remind you that our phone number here is 248-301-2010, 248-301-2010. If you've got show topic suggestions, if you have questions, you have feedback, if you have prayer requests, text that line, 248-301-2010. You can put that number in your phone as TOL, thinking out loud. And if you're listening to us, you're like, oh man, that made me think of this. I need to ask them this, or I wanted to tell, whatever you want to do. Or you have a request for prayer. We would love to pray with you. We would love to pray for you. So leave a voicemail of the prayer request or a text. Or like I said, if you've got questions or show topic suggestions, leave it at that number and we'd be more than happy to respond to those. And then, of course, rate and review us if you're anywhere on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pandora. You're on Amazon Music, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Podchaser, Stitcher, all the places. We're everywhere. If you're on any of these and they give you a place where you can rate us, please go ahead and rate us. If they don't and you have an Apple phone, why don't you hop over to Apple Podcast and go in there and actually rate us? It just helps us to come up in the feed, and that's just awesome when you do that. And so don't forget to follow and subscribe to us. We love that. If you got prayer requests or anything like that, reach out to us, 248-301-2010, 248-301-2010, and we will definitely make sure that we are praying for you, because we love that. We love praying for our listeners. And so do that if you want to, okay? Let's jump back in. What does surrender actually look like on a Thursday morning? All right, and this is strictly scripture. James 4, verse 7 and 8. All right? So remember, words matter. So listen to what these words say. Submit yourselves then to God. So submit. We don't really like that word. Submit, become subservient or submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So what James is saying here, if you really want God, you really want this whole thing of surrender, you want to know what that looks like on a Tuesday morning? It is submitting yourself to God, his will, his way, everything he is, right? And I'm going to break this down even further. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil. So, I mean, it's like if you think about somebody resisting somebody, think about somebody, I'm going a dark path again, but somebody resisting arrest. They're doing everything they can to get away. I mean, you ever watch some of those cop shows? These guys are on the ground and there's like 6 police officers on them and they can't get handcuffs on these people. Like, it is insane sometimes some of the things that I'm just like, me and my wife are looking at it, it's like, what is happening? What is actually happening right now? How do they get this much strength? Like, where do they get this? I'm sure it's adrenaline at the moment, but that's resisting. Think about somebody coming towards you. You put your hands up in a defensive motion and you're resisting whatever it is that's coming at you. That's exactly what you do on a day-to-day basis when it comes to the enemy. A thought comes into your mind. Resist that thought. How do you resist that thought? The Bible says take every thought captive and bring it to the obedience and make it subservient or submit to the knowledge of Christ. You take all casting down imaginations and casting down imaginations. All of those things are things that we do. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But see, here's the thing. I don't think you can do one without the other. So you can submit yourself to God. You can resist the devil, all those things. Here's what happens, though. If you just try to do that and you don't do what verse 8 says, come near to God and he will come near to you, you're going to have a problem with resisting the devil and submitting yourself to God. So it's not like, hey, I'm going to submit myself to God. I'm going to resist the devil and the devil just going to flee from me and that's it. No. You have to submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and then he'll flee from you. But then you have to come near to God and he will come near to you and say, well, but Kevin, I don't always feel him. You listen, man, I don't always feel God either. There are some days that I go about my day and I don't even feel saved. But that feeling saved is not a thing. Salvation is not a feeling. It's a fact. You either are saved or you're not. Let that encourage you today. You're going to wake up. You're going to have days where you're going to fall. You're going to fail. You're going to falter. And you're not going to be perfect. That does not mean that you are not saved. Being saved is not a feeling. It's a fact. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior to be the solution for your sin problem, you are saved. If you're walking with Christ, not perfectly, because you won't, and we'll talk about this next episode. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about this perfection. When the Bible talks about perfection, what does that mean? Because that really makes some people squirrely. And they think that somehow that God is expecting us to be perfect this side of heaven. And that's just not going to happen. Because if you were going to be perfect this side of heaven, then you would be God. And God is never going to let you be him. Jesus is the only person that was sinless on this earth. And the last time I checked, you'll never be Jesus. So don't worry about thinking that you're going to somehow be sinless now. The process of sanctification, you will sin less, but you won't be sinless. You catch that? You will sin less, but you won't be sinless. And no, I didn't change an I for an E there. And I know it sounds like that, but you know, I'm trying to help you guys understand that here. You've got to know that. Your feelings, you cannot go by your feelings. Your feelings and your emotions are going to be up and down all throughout your life. If that's what you're putting your hope in, that's what you're putting your salvation in, think about that. you're going to put your eternal salvation into your feelings, in your emotions. That is going to be the arbiter of whether you're saved or not. That is wild. Stop it. Stop it. Don't let yourself go there. Your salvation is a fact, not a feeling. So listen to what he says. Again, submit yourselves, resist the devil, but you also have to come near to God, and he will come near to you. If he says he's going to come near to you, he's going to come near to you. Then he says, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, listen what this next scripture says. I love this one. Oh, my goodness. And you've heard this scripture probably in Sunday school, vacation Bible school, all the things. But you didn't realize that on a Tuesday morning, this is what surrender looked like. You just memorized the scripture as a kid, and you're just like, oh, yeah, that sounds like a good scripture. That's what I should be doing. We have to ask ourselves, are we actually doing it? Because one of the things that I think sometimes we do is we look at this word surrender, and really this word is an action word. You got to do something. You don't passively surrender. You don't passively surrender. You have to purposefully surrender. There are things that change. There's a way that, like, if there is, you know, two armies that are facing each other, there's something that happens that show the other army that the other armies have surrendered. If they don't raise the white flag, how in the world is the other army going to know that the soldiers are retreating and they are surrendering? How would they know that? There's action that has to happen. So that's why I say when we sing these songs and we do all of that, we kind of like passively surrender, but passively surrendering is not a thing. You realize that, right? It's an intentional act. It's a purposeful act. It's, God, I am going to give up this addiction by the power of your Holy Spirit. I will not be participating in this behavior with your help. It's not, and don't get me wrong, will there be times you fall? Absolutely. There may be times that you fall, but you get yourself right back up and you get right back on that path of sanctification. You get right back on that path of healing and surrendering to God. That's what happens in true surrender. And you say, but maybe, Kevin, maybe I just need more of God. I just need more of God in my life. I just need more. Listen, I hate to like knock down all your crutches and your idols and your things, but needing more of God is not a thing. I hate to break that to you, but that's not a thing. There's no such thing as getting more of God. And if you've been under my ministry for any length of time, and those of you that are listening that have been under my ministry, you know I've said this many times. Because we have these songs that say, oh, God, I want more of you. Give me more of you. You know, download more, God, more, more. I want more of you. It doesn't make sense. I get what the spirit behind it is saying. And we still sing some of these songs. And it's okay. I'm not saying take them out or do something with them. That's not my jurisdiction to be saying that. I'm just telling you the concept of the fact that you can get more of God is not a thing. The only thing that can happen is that God gets more of you. That is true surrender. Because if you stand there at an altar or you kneel there in your prayer closet and you beg God, I need more of you. I need more of you. And he's going, wait a minute. When you accepted me as Savior, you didn't get part of me. You didn't get like three quarters of me or half of me. God doesn't haphazardly half do things. So if you accepted him in your heart, it's not like you have this part of Jesus, but then this other part you don't have. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. The Holy Spirit, not some of the Holy Spirit, not half of the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. So there is no such thing as him giving you more of himself, but there is a such thing as you giving more of yourself to him. And the reason why it's so hard for you to do that, or look at your life and you go, man, I really want to be more like Jesus, but then you find it really hard, It's because you have to give him more of you. You've got to surrender. Remember what we said those definitions were now? We said those definitions were to yield to the power of, or to yield control or possession of another, to give up completely or agree to forego, especially in favor of another, in favor of somebody else besides you. To give oneself up into the power, oh man, that's powerful right there, into the power of another. See, we agreed early in the show that that's hard to do. Mm-hmm. And that's why when you sit and you say, oh God, I want more of you, I want more of you, I want more of you, and you're like, well, nothing happens. Well, it's because God gave you all of him. That's why. It just seems like that. The moment you start giving him more of you, that's when you're going to start seeing change. That's when you're going to start living the life that God has called you to live. That is when you're going to start seeing breakthrough happen in your life. And I promise you, and see, this is why so many people don't see breakthrough, because they kind of sit and wait for like God to do something. I think even that scripture that says those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. People have this idea that I'm just going to wait and God's going to renew my strength. Wait in the sense of I'm just going to sit here and do nothing. But really how you should look at that scripture is like a waitress. Those who wait, who serve, who think about a waitress or a waiter in a restaurant. They're waiting on you. But when they're waiting on you does not mean that they're sitting there in a chair waiting on you to do something. No, rather they're waiting on you. They're serving you. So the wait there is just different kind of wait. So when you hear that scripture that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up on wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Dude, that's action happening. This is not sitting around waiting for God to do something. It's no. I'm going to wait on you like a waiter or a waitress. God, I am going to serve you. While I'm serving you, you're going to renew my strength. Come on. Come on. Isn't that good stuff? That's good stuff, guys. That's good stuff. It's that kind of stuff that will cause you to start having breakthrough in your life, because you can't, it's impossible for you to have more of God, but it is entirely possible for him to have more of you. And that's the hard part. And that's why the devil, he tries to make it as hard as possible. He wants you to hoard everything. He wants you to, I got it. Remember what we said in the beginning. I got it. I'll handle it. No problem. I'll get it. But he's not asking us to do that. He's asking us to do the exact opposite. But because in our day job, we're the fixer, because in our day jobs, we are the ones who handle everything. I'm probably talking to a wife right now, or maybe a single mom, or I'm talking to you and you're thinking, but Kevin, that's my life, man. That's my life, bro. I'm the one. I'm the fixer in my family. And you don't even have to be a man. I know I use the example of a man, but you could be a woman out there going, I'm the one that everybody comes to. I'm the one. I promise you this. Everybody thinks you have the answers, but let me tell you something. You're going to hear in just a few minutes how you can have some answers, and that's great. But I promise you, you are not the ultimate fixer in your family. It is and always will be God, because you have a limit. One day you're going to die. Then what are they going to do? One day you might get sick. Then what are they going to do? One day you're going to have your own problems that somebody else is going to have to help you out of. Why? Because you're not God. Let's see what the scripture says. Next scripture, Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 7. And again, you've heard this, Bible school, all the things. You've probably memorized the scripture, but didn't realize that you were going to need this on a random Wednesday morning or a random Friday night. And this was going to be so applicable to your life. Think about this. Sanctification, guys. This is part of the road. It's surrendering to God. Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Think about it. Some of us have trust issues. And we have trust issues because we've put our trust in people that are just like us, finite. God is infinite. He knows everything, but we're finite people. There's a limit to us. So we've put our trust in another mortal human being, and then we got hurt or we were disappointed, and now we have a trust issue, and it sometimes that bleeds over into our relationship with God, and we don't even trust God. And the reason is because the Bible never told us to trust in people. It said trust in the Lord with all of your heart, not some of your heart, all of your heart. Again, so think about this. This is not God doing something. This is you doing something. So this, again, this concept of, I got to get more of God, got to get more of God, got to get more of God. No. It doesn't work that way. God gets more of you. So it's, well, God just needs to trust me. But think about that. If we flip that scripture around, how does that sound? Well, God just needs to trust me. I know what I'm doing. Well, that just sounds idiotic. You didn't even make yourself. Go ahead, duplicate yourself. Go ahead, try to make yourself. Go outside to your garden and try to create one of those plants that's out there. Go out to, like us in Michigan, we were talking about earlier, the snow. Go out and make some snow. Make a snowflake. Go out and you say, oh, Kevin, I can get some water and I can freeze it and I can just, you know, whatever. But go do that. But here's the thing. All the molecular structures and all of these things, that you're talking about was all created by God. So you can't reproduce it. It's his seeds. When you want grass to grow, well, you got to put seed there. But whose seeds are it? It's God's, not yours. Recreate the things that you see in nature. You can't. Go recreate a red panda. And they are absolutely adorable, by the way. I love them. Go recreate a lion. Can you? No? Oh, okay, so trust in the Lord. Again, you are giving more of yourself to God. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. I love this one. And do not lean on your own understanding. Think about that word lean there. And when I taught this in my Tuesday night Bible class, one of the things that I did was the wall behind me. I got up and I stood up and I went and I leaned against this wall. And what I was trying to show the class is this is exactly what the scripture is saying. I said to them, I said, when I lean up against this wall, whether I admit it or not, I am putting my total and absolute trust that this wall is sturdy, that I am not going to just fall through this drywall, that the structure of this building that we're in, sound and everything's cool. I'm putting my full trust in that wall. And you know, we've all done it. You're talking to somebody in the hallway or a corridor or something like that. And for comfort and so, you know, take a little weight out off of us, we just lean up against something. But whatever you're leaning up against, you're putting your full trust in that thing that it's not going to fail. So he says, don't do that with your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't sit there and have your own understanding next to you and you'd like trust that because it's shaky. Why? Because he knows more than we know. He's infinitely intelligent. He's infinitely smart. He knows the end from the beginning. So why would we lean onto our own understanding? So he's going, that wall that you were just leaning, don't do that with your own understanding because that's not good, bro. That's not good, sis. Think about it. And you have to ask yourself, are there areas in your life, whether it be your marriage, whether it be your children, whether it be your job, whether it be your whatever, that you're leaning on your own understanding? You're putting your full weight in your trust on that. It could be your 401k. It could be your nest egg. And I'm not saying you should do all of those things. I have 401k. I have these things. I have investments. I do these things. Why? Because that's a smart thing to do. Here's the difference. You can't rely completely and totally or lean on them totally. You can't. So he says, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Now, this is where it shows up on a Tuesday morning, a Wednesday night, a Friday evening, a Thursday, because in all your ways, you're acknowledging him. I acknowledge you, God, when I make this decision. I want to acknowledge you when I decide to take this job or go over here. And I'm not saying you get paralysis of the analysis. There's some people that can't make decisions because they just, all they do is just turn it over in their head. Is this the right decision? Is this the right decision? Is this the right decision? Should I do this? What should I do? You know, that's not what we're talking about here. God has given us something called common sense. There are sometimes people pray for things that they shouldn't pray for. They already know the answer. The reason why they pray is because they want a different answer than what they already know. Some things God doesn't have to show you supernaturally. You just know. God is the one who's given you logic. He's given us all these things. So he's saying, listen, I need you to trust me. And if it's logic that I'm giving you right now, trust that. If it's your intelligence that I'm giving you right now, trust that. But you need to know it's God, not you. It's important. So why do we lean on him? Why do we trust him? Why do we put our full weight on him? Here's why. Isaiah 55:8-9. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Very first line of Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. That's the very reason why you don't lean and put your full weight on what you think. Because what you're thinking and what God is thinking are totally two different things. You see, well, how do you know that, Kevin? Well, the scripture says it right here. For my thoughts, they're not your thoughts. The next line says, nor are your ways my ways. So my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Chew on that for a while. This is why you don't lean to your, because God knows. So you need to be in tune with God. You need to be able to give up all the things that you think and say, God, what are you thinking? What did we say in the last episode? What would Jesus do? We kind of made it a bracelet and then forgot to actually do it and actually think about what would Jesus do in this situation. I want you guys, as you listen to this and as you've listened to this today, think about it in your own life. I promise this will change your life. It really will. You will begin to start seeing things changing your life. Don't lean to your understanding. And I'm telling you right now, as I'm going through this and studying and researching and getting these notes down for these podcasts and my Tuesday night class, this is stuff that I'm absorbing as well. There are things that I can tell you right now on air that I've leaned on my own understanding and I failed miserably. I just have. And so these are things that I'm having to look back and go, whoa, God, I need to give that to God. I need to actually start doing the things that I really know that should be done. But see, it was, oh, I got it. I'll take care of it. Yeah, where's that gotten me? So we're all in this together. Understand that. Yes, I'm the guy on the podcast teaching it. I know. But it applies to me just as much as it applies to you. And I want to make sure that I don't just talk about it. I want to do it. And so I ask for your prayers as well. When you think of me, if you just randomly think of this guy that you listen to, when you think of me, just pray for me. Pray that God would, all of these things, I want to come to fruition in my life. And I want my life to be this way because this is the life that I want. This is what God has called us all to. And this is the life that is going to attract the world. Well, guys, it's just been a pleasure. It's truly been a pleasure to be with you guys this week. And I want to remind you, if you want to sound off on this episode or any of the episodes, you want to give us some feedback, show topic suggestions or questions, you have prayer requests, please, you can text us 248-301-2010, 248-301-2010. You can also call us and leave a voicemail for any of those things, and we will retrieve those, and we will be in prayer for you, and also we'll retrieve any questions that you have and show topic suggestions, any of that stuff. And don't forget to rate and review us wherever you listen. Thank you so, so much. For all of you guys out there that are listening every single week, hey, listen, as you sign off today, remember the journey we're on. Remember this journey. And if you need help, If you need further, further questions or anything like that, guys, we are more than willing to help. Coming up soon, Kyle will be back. So just hang on. It's getting closer and closer to him returning. He will get on this train with us and we're going to have a great time. And so we're excited about that. Well, God bless you guys. We love you. Have a great week and we will see you next time. Love you.